Hare Krishna. Yesterday we observed the most auspicious celebration of the appearance day of the all-merciful Nityananda Prabhu. And we read a verse, the second verse of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and I will read it again so that we can think more about Gaur Nithai. Please repeat. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, Chapter 1, Text 2. Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahoditau Gododaye Pushpanvantau Chiro Sando Tamo Nudau. Very poetic. Please repeat. Vande. I offer respectful obeisances. Sri Krishna Chaitanya. To Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Nityananda. And to Lord Nityananda. Saha Uditao. Simultaneously arisen. Gauda Udaye. On the eastern horizon of Gauda. Pushpavanto. The sun and moon together. Chitrao. Wonderful. Samdo, bestowing benediction. Tama Dudao, dissipating darkness. Translation, I offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Gauda to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. So the merciful lords appeared to bestow benedictions upon us all. And the main means through which they bestow benediction upon us is by giving us the Sankirtan Yajna to perform. The word Kirtan means to glorify or to chant the glories. And Srila Rupa Goswami, in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which Srila Prabhupada has given us as a summary study in the form of the Nectar of Devotion, he explains, he analyzes the different items of devotional service, and he lists 64 items. And one is Nama Kirtan, chanting the holy name. One is Rupa Kirtan, glorifying the Lord's form or beauty. Then there's Guna Kirtan, glorifying the Lord's qualities. And then there's Leela Kirtan, glorifying the Lord's activities. And Sankirtan means complete glorification. And complete glorification can mean glorification of the Lord's name, forms, qualities, and pastimes. And Sankirtan, complete glorification, can also mean when, as Prabhupada translates it, congregational chanting of the holy name. Because it is complete when devotees gather together and chant together. So the Sankirtan is the way that Shishi Gorni Thai wonderfully bestow benediction upon all, and at the same time dissipate the darkness of ignorance. And Srila Prabhupada has established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness to execute the will of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda as received by him through parampara, through his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And his spiritual master considered the printing and distributing of books to be the greater Sankirtan. He used the phrase Brihad Mridanga. Mridanga means the drum that devotees play in Sankirtan. And he said that a regular mridanga can be heard for one or two blocks. But the Brihad Mridanga, the big mridanga of the printing press, can be heard all over the world. And I experienced that. I was perhaps the first devotee from ISKCON to go to Nigeria. And in Nigeria, some, you know, quite educated, black-bodied African men approached me. They saw me walking in my attire on the street. And they immediately recognized me as a devotee. And they started to ask philosophical questions that showed that they already had some background in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And I asked them, how do you know about this? And they said that they had a friend in London who had gotten some books, and then he sent them the books. So without any devotees even having come to West Africa, they had received the books and they were cultivating Krishna consciousness. So these books are extremely potent. Extremely potent. Yesterday, I met a gentleman named Richard. And Richard had been a Buddhist, but he got one of Srila Prabhupada's books. And without even reading the book, just by holding the book in his hands, he got the intuition that this is it. This is what he was looking for all along. This is the fulfillment of everything that he ever wanted. Srila Prabhupada encouraged us, just put the book in people's hands. Just by touching the book, they will get spiritual benefit. Now, someone could interpret Srila Prabhupada's words. Of course, Prabhupada warned us not to interpret when the meaning is clear. But one could, speculate, or one could conjecture that Srila Prabhupada was saying that just to encourage us. That it might not really be true, but he said it to encourage us so that we would go out and put the books in people's hands, and even if they didn't take the books, we wouldn't feel discouraged. But Richard's experience proves that just by touching the book, just by holding the book, not even reading it, one can get spiritual inspiration and spiritual determination. Because the book is Krishna. Because on the absolute platform, Krishna and his holy name and forms and qualities and pastimes are all Krishna. So when we give someone the holy name, we're giving them Krishna. And when we give them the Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam or any book about Krishna, we are giving them Krishna. But Srila Prabhupada said that we should not just distribute books, but we should also read them. This is very important. In fact, I cannot overestimate the importance of reading Srila Prabhupada's books. As Srila Prabhupada said, distributing his books will keep them happy, meaning the devotees. And reading his books will keep them. So, because this is Krishna. And the books are alive. They speak to us. We should read the books with the view to understand what is Srila Prabhupada trying to tell me. What is Krishna trying to tell me? And really think about what we're reading. And what does it mean to me? And how can I apply it? And as Srila Prabhupada used to quote one Bengali proverb, that all of your bhajan and all of your sadhana will be tested at the time of death. This morning I was relishing the morning program in the temple with all the devotees, but I left because there's a devotee in Vrindavan who is in the process of leaving his body. So he's from America. He was the temple president in St. Louis for some time. And he has an advanced cancer, and so he flew to Vrindavan to the devotee's hospice to leave his body in Vrindavan in the association of devotees. So I phoned him. He's at that stage where he's too weak to actually speak, but he's conscious. He was hearing and he was responding, and I not just sense that he was responding, I could even hear him responding, but he didn't have the strength to actually speak. And I just felt that this soul, this special soul, this fortunate soul, was really on the way back home, back to Godhead. That, you know, because of his service to the Sankirtan movement, and he, it's not just the external service, but the desire to serve, the desire to please, that was bringing him to this point where there's every possibility that he'll go back to Godhead, that he'll continue his service to Srila Prabhupada and the devotees and the Lord in his next life in a better body, suitable for such service. And all of us will face that test. You know, it's not a joke. And so we should prepare and take it seriously. Sometimes, I mean, it's sort of naturally want to enjoy life. Even as devotees, want to enjoy life. But sometimes it takes a reversal in our circumstances to actually make us serious about Krishna consciousness. And sometimes the thing that we dread the most, that we think will be the biggest curse, like an illness or an accident, it turns out to be the greatest blessing because it helps us see things in perspective and not be living in this illusion, this airy-fairy illusion, oh, everything's nice, you know, and face the reality not only of the miseries of the material world in general, but of our own mortality. This body literally is a machine, and like any machine, it's going to break down, and as you get older, it breaks down more frequently, and it's harder to fix. and eventually it reaches the end of its life. So why be so preoccupied with the body, which is not even us, and which is bound for destruction? Rather, we should focus on our real self, on our eternal identity as Krishna's eternal servants, and just not bother about all this stuff. You know, there's like so much stuff that we can get bothered by or happy about. But if we look at this life in relation to eternal time, it's like, what is this life? It's like a fraction of, you say, we can't even calculate how small it is. It's like, say, 1/10 billionth of a second. So we work very hard and, okay, suppose you're a billionaire for 1/10 billionth of a second. What is that? What is that? So we should do things that have value in terms of eternal time. You know, that will be of significance, you know, even in 100 years from now. Who's going to even think about all these little things that are so important to us? 100 years from now, who's going to know who won the Academy Award for 2012? No one. So what is going to have value in 100 years or 1,000 years or 10,000 years? It's just our Krishna consciousness, because that's eternal. How we chant our japa, how we perform our service, that is going to have effects into eternity. And all these other things, the market, the ups and downs, have no significance. So we should really be mindful of these facts. And the best part of it is that the happiness that the soul experiences in relation to Krishna, in relation to the Supreme Soul, that is real happiness beyond anything related to the senses of the body, material sense credit. So it's not that we're like negative about the body or the world, but we just want to remind ourselves not to get distracted from what's really important. And when we realize, you know, the futility of trying to enjoy in the material world permanently, and focus on our real life, that is this. That is the mercy of Gaur Nitai, that is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, dissipating the darkness of ignorance and wonderfully bestowing benediction on all. And, you know, coming back to that phone call, I spent almost a half hour on the phone with the devotee, and it was very uplifting. You know, I did some kirtan, I spoke to him, and sang some prayers. It was very, very uplifting. So, yeah. Association, Sankirtan. Sankirtan. That should be up till the end, up to the very last breath, Sankirtan. Hare Krishna. So So, any questions or comments? Yes. He's asking that what about someone like him who has to work outside, and what can he do for his Krishna consciousness? Well, the main thing in anything is the consciousness. If we are in the consciousness that we are eternal servants of Krishna, and the body and my wife's body and my children's body and the house and the car and everything else are bound for destruction, then we can work and earn money to keep the body and soul together, to realize the true purpose of human life. So it's a matter of the intention. Now, you have to spend so much time at work, but there's a lot of other time when you're not at work. So how do you use your other time? So if your intention is right, okay, you have to work, you have to earn, you have to maintain your body and soul together so that you can realize the purpose of human life and become Krishna conscious. But not that, oh, I have all this money, let's enjoy. So, yeah. Many of our acharyas were in Grihastha Ashram. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, if you read about his life, he had 11 or 12 children. And he had a very big post in the government. But he did it, but his real life was chanting and hearing about Krishna, writing books. He wrote so many books, wrote so many songs, did so much service. And he had a son. I mean, he had others, but one of his sons was Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So, use your time like that. Produce a son like Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Then your Grihastha Ashram will be a success. Yeah, just today in Srila Prabhupada's lecture in the morning, he was quoting the verse Guru Nasasyat, Pita Nasasyat. That no one should become a guru, no one should become a father, no one should become a mother, no one should become a husband, no one should become a leader unless he or she can deliver his dependence from the repetition of birth and death. So if you're a husband, that means if you have a wife, it means that your responsibility is to see that she never has to take birth again. If you have children, it means your responsibility is to see that they never have to take birth again. So that's Grihastha life. It's very responsible. It's very serious. But blissful. Krishna consciousness is blissful. But it's serious. Is that all right? other questions or comments? So yesterday we discussed how the mission of Gaur Nitai was explained at the Shikshastakam, and how the first verse, which tells so much benefit of Sankirtan, of chanting the holy names, is really meant to encourage us to chant the holy name. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. And the second verse, it explains how merciful the Lord is to come in the form of the holy name, Tava Kripa. But at the same time, Mama Durdaiva, I'm so unfortunate, I have no attachment for chanting. And the reason we have no attachment for chanting is that we commit offenses. And yesterday we discussed the one offense, which is inattention. Not at least trying to hear the syllables of the holy name. But another offense, which can be very damaging, is to find faults in devotees. Now, anyone who seriously chants and tries to chant without offense and experiences what it means to chant without offense will naturally be very careful about finding faults with devotees, because it has a very damaging effect on the heart. I mean, chanting is a matter of the heart, of opening the heart to Krishna, opening the heart to the spiritual realm. And this criticizing of devotees causes the heart to close. Or to put it another way, the holy name being displeased with the devotee or with the chanter who is finding fault with other devotees or is critical of other devotees recedes. He pulls back. Srila Prabhupada used to quote the saying, "Love me, love my dog." He gave the example that if you want to establish a relationship with a very big man, you can't just approach him. But if you see him on the street with his dog and you stop and you pet the dog, and then the owner of the dog will naturally be pleased. So that is the secret of approaching Krishna, to serve his devotees and please his devotees. And the opposite is also true, that offending his devotees, disrespecting his devotees, mistreating his devotees will disturb him more even than offending him directly. Srila Prabhupada gave the example that when when the sun is beating down, scorching heat, and you're walking barefoot, you feel it more on the soles of your feet than on your head. It's a common experience if you've ever walked barefoot in the heat. So in the same way, an offense against Krishna's devotees who've taken shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna is more painful to Krishna than an offense against him directly. So we should be very careful about this. And, you know, sometimes we get together and we just criticize. We don't even think about it. Not even conscious of it. It's just automatic. But it has its effects. And even if it's not spoken, even if it's just in the mind, it has an effect. It's worse when you speak, generally. But it has an effect even if it's just in your mind. Lord Chaitanya had a devotee named Pundarik Vidyanidhi, very exalted, pure devotee. But once he saw the pujari of Lord Jagannath with a cloth, I mean, it's sort of a technical point, but anyway, with a cloth that was not considered pure. So within his mind, he had a little, maybe even a little hateful thought that, oh, this pujari is engaged in the service of Jagannath and the cloth is not completely pure. And that night, in his dream, Lord Jagannath came to Pundarik Vidyanidhi and was like slapping his face really hard. And when he woke up, his cheeks were actually swollen. So, yes. And of course, that's also for our benefit to get these reactions, because it will discourage us from such offenses in the future. And it will also protect the other devotees from people who might be inclined to commit offenses against them. Yeah, sometimes we might be in a situation where we're not criticizing, but someone else is criticizing. Well, it's also an offense to hear criticism. I mean, you know, there's such a thing as constructive criticism, but I'm talking about the sort of casual criticism. You should avoid it. I mean, of course, the person who's speaking might feel it if so. But it's better to avoid it. You know, because it can, whatever, you know. Can we discuss this some other time? Or whatever, you know. I'm not in the mood to hear this right now. Or, you know, instead of this, why don't we chant Hare Krishna? Or why don't we sing some prayers? Or why don't we do some service? Or, you know, if the person speaking about one person in particular could say, well, can you think of anything good about the person? And maybe change the person's line of thinking. So, yeah. It's a good question. Yeah. Yes. Well, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And on one occasion, there was Sankirtan being performed at his brother's home, his older brother's home. And at that Sankirtan, there was a great devotee of Lord Nityananda, and named Minakatam Ramdas. And Krishnadas's older brother did not respect him. And, you know, Minakatam Ramdas didn't take any offense for himself personally, but he took it as an offense against Nityananda Prabhu. So, Krishnadas's brother had a faulty conception. He thought that it was sort of like he appreciated Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but not Nityananda Prabhu. He had that idea. And it came out in his disrespect of Minakatan Ramdas. So Krishnadas, he chided his older brother. And he said that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are like two bodies with one soul. And to accept one and not the other is like half-hen logic. Half-hen logic means that, okay, you have a hen, and the hen is giving eggs. So you think, wow, this is really great. You know, the hen is giving eggs. But at the same time, I have to feed the hen. So let me just keep the hind portion that gives the eggs, and let me cut the neck portion, which is consuming so much food. And of course, when you do that, you kill the hen and you lose the eggs. So that's called half-hen logic. So Krishnadas told his older brother that you're accepting Lord Chaitanya and at the same time rejecting Lord Nityananda is like half-hen philosophy. You know, you cannot accept Lord Chaitanya and not accept Lord Nityananda. So that night, Lord Nityananda came in Krishnadas' dream. And he said, "Oh Krishnadas, you should leave this place and go to Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, you will achieve everything." And then immediately Krishnadas took the order of Nityananda Prabhu and went to Vrindavan. And there he got everything. And he comments that Lord Nityananda appeared in his dream because of his good quality of chastising his brother when his brother was disrespectful of Lord Nityananda. So that's also part of our duty. And there's a nice incident described in Chaitanya Bhagavat. In which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, he manifests himself as Krishna for the first time. He openly revealed himself. And so he was just fulfilling everyone's desires. But when it came to Nityananda Prabhu, he said, that Nityananda Prabhu has no desires to be fulfilled. No. And then he said that, you know, in effect that Nityananda Prabhu is, you know, more dear to me than my own life. And no one, however great a devotee he may be, it doesn't matter, however great a devotee he may be, but if he does not worship Lord Nityananda, he cannot be dear to me. So so much affection between Gaura and Nitai, tremendous. So both are true. If you worship Lord Nityananda, you become dear to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and if no matter how great a devotee you are from every other calculation, but if you do not honor Lord Nityananda, you will not be a dear devotee to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, I just realized that it's probably time for the feast. I thought there was going to be, I was confused. I thought today's class was supposed to begin at, it was yesterday's schedule, but I thought the class was supposed to begin at 5:45 and end at 6:30 with RT. So, it turns out it's supposed to go from 5 to 6, so a little after 5, Omkar comes knocking at my door. Says, are you coming to give class? I said, yes, of course. Well, when are you coming? Well, you know, I thought class was at 5:45. He said, no, it's right now. I said, oh, okay. But then I was still thinking, well, at 6 o'clock there will be RT. So it was 6, and I didn't hear the conch or anything. I thought, well, maybe they're a little late, although in New Dwarka they're not late. I thought maybe they're a little late, and then I guess I gradually realized that it wasn't going to happen. But yeah, but you've been very patient and attentive, those who are here, and those who wanted prasad, we didn't keep them from leaving the temple room. So, any other questions or comments? Is this your boy? What is your responsibility towards him? Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Why is the name of Krishna more merciful than Krishna? It's the nature of the holy name. It's like once here in Los Angeles, Rameshwar Prabhu got in the car with Srila Prabhupada to go on the morning walk. And he asked Srila Prabhupada that why is Lord Chaitanya considered the most munificent incarnation of Godhead, even more merciful than Krishna? And Srila Prabhupada replied, that is his nature. Different people have different natures, and that applies spiritually. So Krishna is very merciful. I mean, there's no question. Krishna is extremely merciful. But the holy name is even more merciful. Because if you offend Krishna, you can still take shelter of the holy name. So, yeah. And also, it's just the nature of the holy name. Yes. By controlling, the question is, how do you protect against mental offenses? So the answer is by controlling your mind. But controlling your mind is not achieved by a negative process. I mean, in a way it can be, but it's achieved more by a positive process. In other words, if you're glorifying devotees and appreciating devotees, then where is the chance of disrespecting them? Yeah. So that's why we should all, like Srila Prabhupada says, you can, if you have a glass of ink and you empty it out, like the Mayavadis, they want to make the mind empty. But if the bottle or the glass is in an inky atmosphere, it will fill up with ink again. But if you fill that glass with milk, then automatically the ink will go, and there will be no room for ink to come back because it will be filled with milk. So we have to keep our mind filled with Krishna consciousness, which means appreciation for Krishna and his devotees. Krishna's never alone. He's always with his devotees. So loving Krishna means loving Krishna and his devotees. And all of that is achieved in good association. We have to seek good association. And there's always good association available. If you're sincere and you really want it, Krishna will arrange that you get it. Yes.